Are bienvenidos, welcome everybody.
Welcome. Jude.
Feel free to turn your beautiful cameras on and your faces. I so love when I get to be here. All right, what do I have? Everything going on? I do. Yay! Let's start this.
Welcome. All right, look, all of our beloveds coming in.
Right?
Right.
So awesome. With great respect and with great kindness, it's a pleasure to welcome you all back to Spirit Rock Online. Welcome to the weekly Women's Sit with Grace Fisher. Look, it's Grace. Yay! She's back. This class goes from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. I've probably had a little bit too much caffeine, but you'll all forgive me, I'm sure of it. It's so nice to be back hosting this group again. It's a surprise now. I don't know when I'm coming or going, but Carlita will be back soon, I promise. To get a feel for who we're sitting with today in this beautiful international circle, I invite you to let us know in chat where you're calling in from. If you are new, please let us know. Bienvenidos, welcome. Very special welcome. Reach out to me at any point in time to ask any questions about what exactly is going on in this room. Spirit Rock is located online globally and on land in the San Geronimo Valley, which right now I'm sure is full of wildflowers and oranges and purples. It is part of unceded Coast Miwok ancestral territory in Northern California. When we say welcome, we welcome you all parts of you, your color, culture, beliefs, gender, orientations, abilities, ages, education, and economies. And whether you've been practicing the Dharma for 40 years, or if this is your very first experience with a Dharma class, please fully take your place in this circle. If we haven't met yet, my name is Maria Cristina Tavera. Please call me Christina if it feels more comfortable. I get to be an online host here at Spirit Rock, and I get to host today. Thank you so much for your generous donations, your registration fees that keep Spirit Rock able to keep its doors open and also help us pay our teachers. So thank you very much. Quick overview. To maintain serenity of our global hall, you're going to be on mute and the chat will go to me once the teacher starts, meditations, all that good stuff. During Q&A, we're going to use the raised hand feature. It should be under participants or reactions tab in your Zoom window. You can always chat me if you want to be anonymous or not quite sure where things are. Happy to help you with that. Closed captioning is on. Yay. If it turns off, please just ding me and tell me it turned off and I didn't notice. The teacher and the Sangha, myself included, are always so appreciative when we get to see your face in this Zoom room. It's the reason why we're still live, that we're not a live stream. It's so that we can really knit our communities and support each other. This weekend, in honor of Mother's Day, there's a day retreat for mothers on Saturday. It goes from 10 to 3 Pacific Coast time. And on Sunday, there's a half-day donation-based gathering with Aya Santa Chita, which is open to everyone. So check that out if you're looking for a little bit more Dharma this weekend. I get to welcome Grace back. Yay! Grace has been practicing meditation for over 20 years. She's also supported the staff. She's been our staff Dharma teacher for a while. So that's why I get so excited because I've gotten to work with her offline as well. And it's always such a joy. She's a certified somatic experience. She's certified in somatic experiencing. She has an online psychotherapy practice and is committed to all things awesome, especially sometimes it seems like making us cry. I don't know. I don't know. Is that true, Grace? Sometimes you
I'd say
just
it's a
like.
commitment. It's just
I'm
sometimes it does happen, myself included. I make myself cry.
going to spotlight you now. Thank you, everyone, for your time and your patience.
Welcome, Maria Cassina. So great to be with you today, and just a deep welcome to dear ones and soon to become dear ones. I love that the Seattle contingent, everyone wrote, "It's sunny in Seattle." I will share, I lived in Portland for about 5 years, and my first year there was a headline literally in the Oregonian, like massive, like sun shines in the northwest. So I love that you all are noting that it's sunny. May it continue. And just so great to see everyone. If you feel so moved, it would be great if you want to put in the chat maybe a word or two about how you're feeling. And please let us know if it is your first time here so we can welcome you appropriately. For those of you who are joining us for the first time, just logistically, in a few moments, we'll move into a period of an arriving sit. And from there, we'll move into a movement practice that, depending on where your body is and what your body is capable of, it might be a walking meditation or just a movement practice. So there'll be instructions for that. We will come back from that at about 10:40 Pacific Coast time. We'll sit together for half an hour. I'll talk for a bit, and then we'll have a chance to share together for the final portion. And it's my hope always that that time allows us to, as Christina mentioned, sort of continue to knit our community ever tighter by just being able to share the wisdom of this amazing group of women. This class has been running for, I don't know, over 20 years. I've had the honor of being, used to be more of a teaching team. So I've been around since 2005. My Thursdays are never complete without being with you all. Jeannie, welcome. First time from Arkansas. I'm back in the Bay Area. It is gorgeous. There are wildflowers everywhere. So I'm on Coast Miwok land today. And just really lovely to see you all. All right, Nancy is new too. Jude, welcome, welcome. And Kat, we missed you. We've been gone a couple of weeks. Nicole, great to have you back. And just, I won't name everyone, but Maureen, thank you for letting us know. No problem about your back. And just a note about, sometimes the body doesn't want to be sitting, right? It's more easeful and better for the body to be lying down or to be standing. Please take care of your body. Yeah. It is a deep aspiration of mine that this class feels like a place of welcoming, a place of refuge, place of friendship and community. To that end, if at any time in the course of my talking, I say something that lands as an ouch or as somehow othering or exclusory born out of my privilege or ignorance, please let me know. The best way to do that, though, would be through to email me at gracefishermft@gmail.com. And please be patient. I just have acknowledged that I'm kind of slow to respond, and I apologize, but hang in there with me. If you don't hear from me in a reasonable amount of time, just ping me back. Absolutely. Let's see. Yeah. That line that I use all the time from John O'Donohue about the body knows it belongs, it's the minds that make us so homeless. And it's the hope that this class, this Thursday morning, afternoon, evening for some, can be a way for us to practice that we belong. Sometimes we can be in the kind of default place of not belonging, and I want to challenge, like, no. And I love Christina's invitation about how many all parts are welcome. And I also want to name, like, the grouchy parts, the parts that might be nervous to be here, or the parts that don't want to be here but came anyway. That's welcome too. The part that might be angry or suffering, welcome, welcome. All parts are welcome. So let's start. So I'm going to invite you to close your eyes or drop the gaze, whichever feels more useful for the body, and just to check in. You know, on Zoom, we've lost the art of transition. So I want to offer this time as an opportunity to transition whatever you were just doing 10 minutes ago. Whew, can we let that go? If we are in conversation with someone or tasking, doing something, emailing, texting, whatever, eating, just to allow yourself to arrive and land in this body. So to feel your feet on the floor, if they are. Notice what the sit bones are resting upon, what's supporting you. Yeah, the earth beneath each one of us, and the couch, the chair, the cushion. Can you let yourself feel supported? Gravity is holding us here, the earth beneath us, this beautiful global sangha of 30 beautiful women. Letting yourself take your seat in this global sangha. And just checking in, how is the body? Some of us are sitting in perfect health. Some of us are sitting with challenges. It might be more temporary, of a headache or a backache. Some of us are sitting with chronic illness, terminal illness, right? It's all here. And can we just open to that? Oh, in the body right now, it's like this. It may feel pleasant. It may feel unpleasant. Okay. Maybe kind of numb or neutral. Okay. Can we just ease into, oh, in this moment, the body feels like this. And as I say that, I'm aware that the body probably feels like a lot of different things. There may be an ache here and ease here and tension there and softness there. This is a complicated organism. So in this inquiry is sort of casting a wide net. How is the body and different parts of the body might answer differently, right? Okay. It's not a problem. We don't need to make it a problem, let me put it that way. Which is not to say whatever is going on with the health might be unpleasant or disconcerting or scary, yes. And can we relax into, oh, it is just like this, to put down the fight against how it is, which I would claim as another thread of aspiration for this class. Can we just allow ourselves, even just for these 2 hours that we meet every week, to put down the fight against how things are? Oh, okay. In this moment, it's just like this in the body. Pleasant, unpleasant. Yep. It's just like this. Giving ourselves permission to put down the fight of it's not fair, I don't like this, and so on. It's just like this in the body. In this moment. Yeah. And again, if it's helpful to feel the sit bones resting upon what you may be sitting on, the earth dropping into the body. And then from what may or may not be a more connected place in the body than, say, 10 minutes ago, to check in with the mind. How is the thinking mind on this 11th day in May? The mind may be unified and still and collected. The mind may be all over the place, like a pinball machine ball. Perseverating, planning, thinking, judging, comparing, right? All the things our mind does. And it always amazes me that we have this capacity to watch. Oh, in this moment, the mind is like this. And that astonishing power of observation and awareness. And I think it gets me every time I say it, because I lived through my teens and 20s so oblivious to this notion. Was so run by really unskillful thoughts, but this idea of having space, oh, this is what my mind is doing. Okay, it's just like this. Yeah. Putting down the fight, the expectation that the mind should somehow be some certain way, and just softening into, oh, in this moment, the mind is like this. Pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Okay. And just giving yourself a few more moments here just to notice, keeping 60, 70% of our attention in the body. And then with that other 30, 40%, just noticing, oh, this is what the mind's doing. It's so cool. And not judging it, not judging ourselves, just softening into this gentle curiosity. Oh, in this moment, the mind is like this. Exhale. And then the final question or inquiry in this arriving sit is, how's the heart? And it may be helpful to place one hand, both hands at heart center or over the heart. And just to check in, how is the heart? How is the heart in response to what's happening internally? Our interior landscape, our interior weather pattern, the stresses, the anxieties, the worries, the joys, the delights, the pleasures that we navigate internally can impact the heart. And I want to encourage the listening to come in the form of sensation. The mind can supply a narrative like, well, this is how the heart's feeling, and this is why, and because of this, and letting the mind just sort of rest and being curious of what's the sensation of the heart, which isn't always easy to find, which is why it can be helpful to have the hands there, is to feel into it. Is there a sense of buoyancy or a denseness, closed like a wall? Is it closed off? A softness of a pounding of the heart. And again, just being curious. When I consider my internal weather pattern, my interior landscape, oh, my heart feels like this. When I consider the first circle of my beloveds, and undoubtedly we all have members of that inner circle whom we love so dearly that are struggling, as we do as humans. And does the sensation in the heart shift? And the natural response of the compassionate heart has that quivering sense. Yeah. So just noticing when we call in that first circle, is there a shift in the sensation of the heart? Not so much the story that comes from the mind, but just the heart herself. And then expanding our circles of concern, to borrow from Rilke, our friends, our neighbors, coworkers, colleagues, our animal friends, who might have been in that first circle, to include all beings as we sit on this day, almost in mid-May, with all that's happening in the world. How is the heart? And allowing, oh, it's just like this, nothing to do, just staying close and staying curious with this gentle awareness. And then in a few moments, we'll shift into the movement practice. And the Buddha taught the four postures: standing, walking, lying down, and sitting. And to me, I take this to be like, he's like, this, you can do this everywhere. Take it with you. And the practice of walking meditation, the principles are the same. It's about awareness, slowing down, paying attention, working with keeping our attention in the body, a good amount of it, as we walk. Or if walking is not an option, as we raise and lower the arm or move the hand. So whatever movement is possible for your body on this day, to see if that's possible and allow the attention to stay in the body, to perhaps watching the how the muscles expand and contract, the movement through air, any coolness or temperature changes that you're aware of. If you're walking, typically the instructions can be 10, 15 paces. I like to take a hard stop and check in. Where am I? Where has my mind wandered off to? And come back. I will hand to the heart, hand to the belly. Come back. Can I rest my attention in the body, perhaps in all those tiny little bones in the feet as I lift and place my feet? This can be a time, many of us are at home. It's like, ah, got 20 minutes. I can do the dishes, check email. Yes, you could. And I want to invite you to stay on retreat. This is such a sacred and precious time. And can you lean into the Dharma sisterhood that's been cultivated over decades to feel the support? Like, stay with us on retreat and allow yourself to practice with some kind of movement and allowing the attention to stay in the body as we move. So may the movement practice, however it manifests, be of benefit. And we'll see you back here at 10:40 Pacific Coast time. And Christina will generously ring the bell and we'll come back and then we'll just move right into the sit. So thank you so much. See you. Right into the sit. So, you know, invite you to allow your body to come into a posture that allows you to feel awake, separate from fatigue, more receptive, available. And again, it can be sitting, it can be lying down, whatever the body needs. And it's more of an invitation, energetic or attitudinal. Can we allow ourselves to be available to our own awareness? This gift of time we have together to practice together. Again, can you allow your body to drop in, the mind to drop in to this beautiful sangha we have? Taking your place in the circle, yeah. For the anchor today, I'm going to invite us to play with the mind, as it were. But first, to, in as much as possible, to anchor ourselves in the body. So again, if the feet are on the floor, I like sometimes to press the balls of my feet into the earth just to, as a way of grounding in, like here, just here. Kind of tapping into that connection to the earth's energies as a way of inviting the body to ground, to center for the energies in our body just to settle, even just a little more, allowing ourselves to come back home into the body, which can be much easier said than done, yeah. But this invitation to rest in the body. And then, as I said, the anchor, just watching the mind. A poem I quote all the time from Martha Postlethwaite, The Clearing. Can we create a clearing in the dense busyness of our mind, to shift the wording a little bit? And this invitation here to create that clearing through our observation, our in setting of the intention to observe the thinking mind, that does create the clearing to watch our thoughts. Some of which can just be shameless or incredibly repetitive, boring, dull, exciting, seductive, annoying, anxiety-provoking. And all we're doing is just really sitting back and watching. Oh, this is what the mind does. The habit of the mind. Okay. We're not needing to make anything of it or attach any meaning to it. We're just being curious. Oh, this is the mind. This is what the mind does. The oft-given image of the mind like the vast blue sky. Thoughts come and go like clouds. And we're just noticing cloud patterns, cloud textures. We're flexing that incredible muscle, when possible, of not engaging with the thoughts. Just noticing. Oh, there's this. This comes. This comes. Inevitably, some thought stream is going to be so enticing that we'll ride it for a while. Okay, and at some point we'll remember, oh wait, come back to the body, watch the thoughts. And that moment, that catch is so important. It's like a magical moment of enlightenment. Yeah. Like, oh, can I come back and just watch? Please remember, there's no such thing as a bad sit. We come, we take our seats, and we just notice, oh, it's like this. Freeing ourselves from any judgment that may come in. Resting in this natural, generous curiosity. How is it? What's it like in the mind? Thank you for ringing the bell, and hope that was a, I'm not even sure what the word was, but I'm delighted that we got to sit together. And there's always a little bit of like, let's just sit the whole time together one day. Just so happy to be here. And today I thought we'd play with the idea of obstacles, or in the Buddhist phrasing, perhaps the hindrances. And in some ways, like all of humanity, we get caught either by some form, some expression of fear, hatred, and delusion. Those are sort of the three basic pillars that we can bump into that cause us suffering internally. And Lord knows the cause of suffering worldwide. We know that we have no shortage of evidence of this. And the hindrances, as many of you know, of grasping, pushing away, aversion, the restlessness in the body or restlessness in the mind, its sibling, sloth and torpor, kind of a slowness, a dullness, a dissociation, either in the body or in the mind. And then the final one, which is said to be the last to go, is doubt. And these five hindrances really are different expressions of the basic three pillars of our life's work here, of how to navigate. And wanting to kind of play with it, seems like I sometimes talk about what's happening astrologically, and I have no basis really to do so other than I think it's interesting. And I know we're in a time of with the eclipses and Mercury retrograde and shifting, that these seem to be times in which we are all in some form or another, sort of the shadow work is coming up, which is a blessing in the big picture, but sometimes it's like, really? Still? And these the shadow parts, the obstacles, the hindrances, whatever we want to name them, and we have different experiences, different phrasing, it's just ways that we get caught, or ways that we're blocked from feeling our deepest, truest nature. So I want to share a poem, which is sort of one of those poems that gets shared. So you may be familiar with it. And I've read it here before, I'm sure. But Alison Luderman's fabulous East Bay poet, because even the word obstacle is an obstacle. Try to love everything that gets in your way. The Chinese women in the flowered bathing caps murmuring together in Mandarin, doing leg exercises in your lane while you execute 36 furious laps, one for every item on your to-do list. The heavy-bellied man who goes thrashing through the water on his side, thrashing through the water, whose breathless tsunamis rock you from your course. Teachers all, learn to be small and swim through the obstacles like a minnow without grudges or memory. Dart toward your goal, sperm to egg. Thinking obstacle is another obstacle. Try to love the teenage girl idly lounging against the ladder, showing off her new tattoo, "This life is mine," in thick blue-black letters on her ivory instep. Be glad she'll have that to look at all of her life, and keep going, keep going. Swim by an uncle in the lane next to yours who is teaching his nephew how to hold his breath underwater, even though kids aren't allowed at this hour. Someday, years from now, this boy who is kicking and flailing in the exact place you want to touch and turn will be a young man at a wedding, on a boat, raising his champagne glass in a toast. When a huge wave hits, washing everyone overboard, he'll come up coughing and spitting like he is now, but he'll come up like a cork, alive. So your moment of impatience must bow in service to a larger story. Because if something is in your way, it's going your way, the way of all beings, towards darkness, towards light. Great line, yeah. So your moment of impatience must bow in the service to a larger story, and how often this can be true for us, right? The moment of impatience, whether it's, I don't know, driving, or impatience with ourselves, impatience with our partner, our kids, our loved ones, our coworkers. Okay. Can we allow that impatience, noticing, catching it, which is why this practice of just being able to cultivate that clearing. This impatience is here. Okay, can I bow that it's in service to a larger story that we don't know. We're not necessarily aware of the larger story. We are not necessarily authors of that larger story. But allowing there to be faith. And sadha is one of my many favorite Pali words, which is translated as faith, confidence. But really, it's faith in our capacity to meet what comes. And sometimes what comes is astonishingly challenging, which is why we need Sangha. From my point of view, why we need spiritual practice. We need each other. We need these teachings as a way of cultivating our faith of, this is unpleasant. This may be so hard. And can I have faith in my capacity to meet this obstacle? Because this obstacle is the way, right? It's through darkness, through light. We look at the moon cycle, right? The moon spends some of its time dark, and then it gets light, and then it gets really bright, and then it gets dark. So this movement from darkness into light, it's part of us. This movement, as I spoke last week, from dysregulation to regulation, it's part of us. Ideally, we have enough awareness to know where we are in the cycle, right? To know, ooh, body's really dysregulated. Okay, ooh, I'm in a place of darkness. Okay, what can I learn here? What's the teaching here? Can I bow to that this is in service of our larger unfolding? From Donna Fouts, let it go. Let go of the ways you thought life would unfold, the holding of plans or dreams or expectations. Let it all go. Save your strength to swim with the tide. The choice to fight what is here for you now will only result in struggle, fear, and desperate attempts to flee from the very energy you long for. Let it go. Let it all go and flow with a grace that washes through your days, whether you receive it gently or with all your quills raised to defend against invaders. Take this on faith. The mind may never find the explanations that it seeks, but you will move forward nonetheless. Let go, and the wave's crest will carry you to the unknown shores beyond your wildest dreams or destinations. Let it all go and find the place of rest and peace and certain transformation. Such a beautiful invitation and challenging. This notion of let it go, we say this all the time. It's so hard to do, right? And what does it even mean? And sort of sometimes putting it down, setting it aside can be easier than letting it go. But I so appreciate this poet's invitation of, well, what happens? If you let it go, we grip and we hold of ideas and plans, expectations, and this catching it. And I think this exercise of just catching, oh, wait, okay, can we release? And let it go can be the aspiration, capital A. And on a day-to-day, little a, can just be, can I release a little and notice, you know, that great quote from Ajahn Chah that's in one of the walls. Well, on one of the walls is Spirit Rock. If you let go a little, you'll have a little happiness. If you let go a lot, you'll have a lot. If you let go completely, you will have complete happiness. Right. So this invitation of these teachings through the awareness, first even know what it is we're holding on to. Because when we're unaware, think back to my teens and in my 20s, before I found the practice, I didn't know. I didn't know what I was holding on to. And these opportunities to sit with ourselves and watch the motions of the mind, the way the body grips, the heart closes. Oh, I'm holding on. Okay. Can I release just a little in this moment? Christina Feldman's great line that the task at hand is never greater than this moment. Enlightenment is possible in this moment. It's this moment that matters. And we can sort of have these grandiose plans of letting go of whatever that can seem so epic. It doesn't have to be, right? The idea of getting to enlightenment, that doesn't have to be epic either. It's just in this moment, like then I noted in the instructions of when we catch ourselves, oh, I'm caught in thought. Joseph Goldstein's like, yeah, hooray. That's the place of enlightenment. Let's celebrate that. Not to beat ourselves up like, oh my God, I'm lost in thought again, but just, I caught it, right? This is the cultivation of the muscle. This is that lifting that weight, you know, to have, which then allows us the faith and the confidence of, oh, I can catch myself when I'm caught gripping or pushing away. That has a similar energetic of a lot of efforting, whether we're pushing away circumstances or individuals, or just our own sense of pushing away anger or that which is unpleasant, that pushing away or shutting down, compartmentalizing, some of which is necessary just to survive in this world. Okay. When is it not serving us? Yeah. And as we keep cultivating our ability to have that clearing in the mind to watch, oh, this pattern that comes of a narrative or a story that's not serving me, or, oh, this pattern, can I evaluate this thought pattern, this cloud stream, whatever image we want to use, is this serving me, or is it stressing me out? It's a really helpful question. And we can only ask it when we have that strength of observation, but to be able to check in, actually, no, this is totally stressing me out. Okay, so can we put the mind somewhere else, somewhere that's beautiful, a place that we love, an animal that we love, and whether that person or the animal is available to us, but just imagining it or picturing it or just making that conscious choice of, we're going to go over here now and think about this. Breathe is also helpful. Again, coming back into the body, because when we get stressed and anxious, right, we sort of breathe from here up, which doesn't help us very much. So how to connect into the body, right? Which is why I always talk about the sit bones, because it brings our attention down in the lower part of our body. Yeah. Breathe by Alistair H.M.P. Dumfries. Stress hooks its claws into the brain, creating false truths and unreal realities to confuse, to assault, to breaking point. There's no refuge in the past or the future. The only answer? Breathe. When thoughts spiral out of control like a jet plane on a fatal collision course, there's no respite, no saving grace. When even sleep becomes a banned destination, look to the place of salvation. Breathe. Anxiety can build and surge in a flood, overwhelming rational ideas and calm. Depression throws its hooks into the mind and drags thoughts into the mud. The perfect antidote? Breathe. Focus. Not on the unchangeable past or on the unknown mist of the future, but on the now, the moment, your breath. Let it bring the calm that's desperately needed. The final answer? Breathe. I love this. Yeah, this sort of straight talk of, yeah, these hooks of anxiety, of fear, of anger, of depression, they really can mess with us, with our mind, and then the mind gets agitated and the body's like, I'm coming. I'll come along behind you, and we're all discombobulated. Breathing, yeah. Settling, hands to the heart, hand to the belly, breathing, holding ourselves in this moment, right? Nowhere else to be, but just in this moment, and then opening to, okay, what is it? The thought patterns can go on their own accord. I'm well aware. And those obstacles that in our lives, the external events are like, oh, this isn't working out at all the way I thought it was, whether it's plans or expectations, our own health, whatever it is, the dukkha that comes, the natural suffering, the disappointments, the stress in this world, we can get rattled with this notion that things aren't working out, which is such a, in a way, an absurd idea that it should. But if we do everything like we're supposed to do, it's going to work out. No. Or what does that even mean, work out? Work out according to our plan, the idea that I might have for myself, for my daughter, for my life, for my friends, what's happening. It's just an idea. You know, as we know, thoughts are incredibly insubstantial, right? So these ideas, these thoughts that we can have of how our lives should go, it's all made up. So the obstacles that we run into, are they? When really it's if we let ourselves slow down enough to be like, okay, I just created this idea of what I think should happen. And then there's this some things in my way, whether it's someone in my swimming lane or an metaphorical rock or boulder or cliff edge. I made it up anyway. I can have desires and longings and wantings, and I can acknowledge what it is, right? I want this. I don't want that. Okay. If I, yes, those are going to be true. Can I hold them lightly? The expectations, the dreams, the what I want to have happen. I can set a course in motion, and then we all of us kind of need to let go, because other forces are at play that we don't know. Other narratives are involved. Other stories are happening. Can we play our role in the larger story, which is still unfolding and is yet unknown? I want to share this. It used to be one of my favorite poems, which I've just remembered about. So I wanted to share it. It's David Wyatt's The Old Interior Angel. Young and male and immortal as I was, I stopped at the first sight of that broken bridge. The taut cables snapped and the bridge planks concertinaed into a crazy jumble over the drop 400 feet to the craggy stream. I sat and watched the wind shiver on the broken planks as if by looking hard and long enough, the lifeline might spontaneously repair itself, but watched in vain. An hour I sat in silence, checking each involuntary movement of the body toward the trembling bridge with a fearful mind and an emphatic shake of the head. Finally, facing defeat and about to go back the way I came to meet the others 3 days round by another pass, enter the old mountain woman with her stooped gait and dark clothes and her dung basket clasped to her back. Small feet shuffling for the precious gold-brown fuel for cooking food, intent on the ground. She glimpsed my feet and looking up, said, Namaste. I greet the God in you. The last syllable held like a song. I inclined my head and clasped my hands to reply. Before I could look up, she turned her lined face and went straight across that shivering chaos of wood and broken steel in one moment. One day the hero sits down, afraid to take another step. And the old interior angel limps slowly in with her no-nonsense compassion and her old secret and goes ahead. Namaste, you say, and follow. I ask you to close your eyes. And just let your energies come back to yourself. That was a lot of words. Feel yourself sitting or lying down where you are. I'm going to ask you to call to mind an obstacle, a challenge that you may be struggling with. And it doesn't have to be capital O, the biggest obstacle. But just something where there's some stress. And again, take care of yourself for this exercise to not, again, don't go, you don't have to go big. But bringing a sense of something that feels like you're curious about. And again, it may be an obstacle of health, an obstacle at work, with relationships, living situations. And again, taking care not to go somewhere that's too dark or too hard. But if you find something with enough oomph to be interesting, and notice when you call this situation or person or stressor to mind, what happens in the body? Is there a tightening anywhere? Was that heart rate pick up? Was the jaw tighten? And the shoulders come up? Sort of various tells in the body that say, uh-oh, this is hard. And again, just noticing the sensations in the body. And then the mind, does the mind start racing, wanting to problem solve or stress? As often happens, the energy comes up. Yeah. Up through the body into the head. Shoulders come up. And I want to invite each of us to play with an image as if perhaps for you it might be, oh, I'm walking along a path and there's this a giant boulder as an obstacle. Or walking along and there's the road just dead ends. I could go on with different pictures, but just ask if in the natural world, as if from David Wise's poem, and he's in the Himalayas on the, walking along and has a bridge that's just a shivering chaos. But some image or metaphor of when you realize, like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. Where we feel stuck, blocked. And then to imagine turning perhaps to your right, feeling the warmth of the sun on your face. And as you turn and take in what may be a meadow, and on the far end of the meadow is a coppice of trees, and you notice this path through the meadow into the trees. And you hear something, a rustling of leaves, perhaps. Perhaps it's the light breeze that you feel on your face, carrying with it the beautiful scents of wildflowers or whatever might be there that has a beautiful smell of this spring warm summer day, whichever. And as you look at the path, you see a shadow and someone's walking towards you. Someone who is deeply familiar. Someone you know is coming to be of support. And maybe the figure is shadowy at first, but as the person or the animal or whatever form this being takes, moves into the meadow, you can see this person more clearly. Your heart is so happy to see this person or this being. They move closer to you. Again, you're so happy to see them. This being, animal, human form, whatever, is so happy to see you. And in their hands, you notice this beautiful envelope. And as the person approaches you and hands you this envelope, they see your name beautifully calligraphied on this envelope. You take this in your hands and the weight, the quality of the paper is amazing. The calligraphy is gorgeous. You look into the eyes of this being that's come to offer your support. So much love. So much is offered in this look and in their presence with you. And you slide your hand along the envelope opening and pull out this beautiful piece of paper, knowing that on this paper will be words written in support or an image. It's just what you need to see to help you at this time. And you might need to hold the paper up to the light to be able to see it more clearly, but you know you can see it. Or maybe you have to turn it over, but the message is there. You know it's there. And you see it. And you take it in. Hold the envelope to your chest, perhaps. Feel the embrace of this being. You bow to each other. You know this person, this being will come at any time. The being, this person, the animal stands there and you turn back towards the path that you are on, knowing the way forward, knowing the way through. The envelope still clutched to your heart. And I invite you to come back to your body. Feel yourself sitting in whatever chair you're sitting on. Feel your feet. Perhaps press your hands together. Just allow yourself to come all the way back. And then when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And I'm going to stop here. But I want to thank you for your kind attention and open the time up for questions.